Hey everyone, this is the Helping Friendly Podcast. It's November 1st, which means that we're reviewing the Halloween show. We're with Jonathan, who was lucky enough to catch the entire Vegas run. Jonathan, I guess let's just dive in. I mean, based on what I've heard myself and what I've heard other people say, people are overwhelmingly happy and satisfied and, to use your word, convinced based on the cover album last night. But what's your overall impression from last night?
Well, Carini was good. No, it was a great show to cap a great run, and I don't really know what else I could ask for. I mean, I suppose many of us were hoping to see a YEM somewhere in there, but we did not get that. But
yeah,
you know, the things we didn't get aside, I think what Fish did for us last night, as well as the entire run, has been, they've really put out, and I've really enjoyed what they've done. So
nice. Saying that they put out, was that wasn't a reference to your pet cat second slot there?
No, not intentionally.
So no, that was the first set was What did you think of the first set? I've only been to one Halloween show, which was 2013, and I feel like the first set, people are just kind of, people know what's coming, and everyone's just kind of waiting for the cover set. But is it hard to just stop and enjoy the moment?
I don't think so. I know with 2013, that was the wingsuit, and they were, you know, we've had a lot of talk here in Vegas about previous Halloweens and stuff over the past weekend, and one of the things that I picked up from a lot of people who've been to many of them was that at 2013, many people thought it was a joke before they actually started playing Wingsuit. You know, people didn't necessarily even believe it, nor did they have any idea what that was going to mean.
Yeah, I definitely thought it was a joke.
So I can see how that would put a slightly different tenor on, you know, going into the first set of that show than what we had this time, because
yep.
You know, we heard Ziggy Stardust before we even got downstairs, before we even got on the elevator. We knew it was Ziggy Stardust, and we were ecstatic. At least many of us, including myself.
Awesome.
And so, but you know, we get in there and people are just giddy. I ran into Scott Marks, Biz Archive, in the hall before the show, and he was brimming with joy. He was, you know, really excited by what they were going to play. I think he used the phrase "dream album." Scott, if I'm misquoting you, forgive me. But, I never expected them to do a Bowie album. I thought it was almost too obvious, but it certainly made a lot of sense, and I'm thrilled they did. So everybody going in, by and large, at least, people were very happy, very excited, and ready to get going, and then the Fish Band, they got going, and I thought it was a pretty good set. You know, not deep jamming necessarily, but good tight micro jamming in the tube, and Wolfman's was rocking. Carini opened up really strong.
And in
what
Carini,
else we have,
we got the self-deprecating humor there was great with the shirt.
Oh yeah, the shirt. So yeah,
came
so
up twice, right?
He comes out wearing the same, I think, Gucci shirt that he wore when they played on the Tonight Show, and everybody got all worked up over what Trey's wearing, and so he wore the same thing and then made a joke about it, and then later on he instead of Spike it was a shirt in antelope.
That's pretty great.
I think that was pretty awesome. The antelope, it's worth noting, you know, again, not really long, but a hell of a peak. Like,
yeah, that's what Alpharetta had that too. They've been raging it recently, which is kind of a nice return to raging antelope, you know. I mean, similar to Stash too recently. They've both been kind of intense peaks in those songs. I think Tom should have come out last night for the, you know, antelope lyrics, but that's just me.
Well, what are you gonna do? Tom was probably having a good time. So
probably.
So yeah, I mean, there's really nothing to complain about in that first set. I had a lot of fun. It's good songs. And then they left the stage, and chairs and music stands and things and microphones were set up for the strings and the backing vocals. And then they played Ziggy Stardust.
Nice. And then they played that whole album. So I've listened to it a couple times. I'm familiar with the album. I wouldn't consider myself like a diehard Bowie fan, but I do like that album quite a bit. I'm sure you do too. What were some of your big takeaways from the album?
Well, I gotta say, I really enjoyed Rockstar Trey. I don't think it's something he's going to do a lot, but it was pretty fun to watch him get up there, you know, put the guitar down, take the microphone, and sing. And you know, I was just listening to "It Ain't Easy" again, which
yep.
I love that track on the record. That's a Ron Davies song, and I was just reading about him in a book on my flight here, actually.
Nice.
Interesting guy. But you know, when we first got word upstairs, it was going to be Ziggy Stardust. My first thought was, oh my God, they're going to sing 5 years.
Right.
And it was terrific. And, I don't know. I don't think we should go song by song. I'm hoping people are giving it a chance. And if they're not Bowie fans, and if they are Bowie fans, I hope they're receiving it the way that I, as a Bowie fan, received it, which it was a loving homage, and it was done with impeccable taste. You know, bringing the strings out and the singers really enhanced the sound and worked really well.
Yeah. Well, so what was, I mean, I think it was a really pretty great cover. It was a good choice, and I want to get your take on, it seems like people are ecstatic, and is that because of the execution? Is it because it's such a great tribute to Bowie? Is it because, just why do you think it sounds weird to have to analyze why people are so positive, but what's the reasoning behind people being so psyched about this?
Well, it's got to be a combination of all of the above. I mean, they did a great job with it, first of all. That's good reason to be excited. You know, we lost David Bowie early this year. It's been a tough year on losses. Paige mentions that in the David Frick piece in the Playbill.
Oh, nice.
You know, that we lost a lot of people this year, and for them it was kind of, well, we're going to do Halloween. Oh, well, let's do Ziggy Stardust. It was apparently kind of an easy choice for them.
Interesting. Cool. That's good context.
Right. And I think that, you know, knowing that, and even if you don't know that, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I don't know how people could be really disappointed unless they hate David Bowie. And if they hate David Bowie, then that's on them. Fish really did it up.
Yeah, and the execution was great. I mean, I don't think we should be surprised, right? Every album they've covered has been nearly perfect. I mean, they obviously take it seriously when they do it. All the way back to the White Album, right?
They work their asses off, and it always bleeds into their own playing. And I think now we have a little more clarity on things like, you know, why Trey is playing with that Marshall head, well, to get that Mick Ronson sound, which makes to get the riff for Ziggy Stardust to sound exactly right. Which he nails it. I could listen to him play that riff all day long.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And just to go back to, I think this is the first real, not real, this is the first, I think, real album cover that they've done since 2010, right? Since Little Feet.
Little Feet.
2013 was Wingsuit. 2014, of course, was the Chilling Thrilling set. And so maybe just going back to this and, you know, just mastering an album was just a good way to remind people that they can still do it. I think that's part of the excitement, you know?
Sure. Well, the tradition's not dead.
Yeah.
That's another thing that people like.
And I think in 2010, I don't think there's as much familiarity with Little Feet as there is with Bowie, at least in broader circles. I'm not sure among Fish fans, but like going back to 2009 when they covered Exile, I think people were like, you know, this is amazing because that's an album that everyone knows and loves, right? So maybe that's just the popularity of the album itself, I think, added to the excitement. Does that make sense?
I think it's closer in fan familiarity than Little Feat may have been, although I know there are large segments of the fan base who know Little Feat. I'm among them, who really like Little Feat as well. But yeah, I think this may be one that has a bit of a broader advance appeal. You know, so going into it, you're like, you know, people knew, well, David Bowie, so that'll be good. But even if they didn't, I'm hoping, you know, I talked to a number of people, a couple of the people that I was with weren't familiar with the album, and they loved it. And you could look out at the crowd after the songs or during the peaks, just throughout the set, and people were heavily invested in what was going on. They were really digging it. So
that's awesome. It's great to hear.
Plus fish.
Yeah, it really was. One of my big regrets from Halloween 2013 is that I was trying to figure out what was going on during the wingsuit set, as opposed to just like appreciating being there for it. And that's all hindsight, but I'm glad that people, it sounds like everyone I've heard from, at least, it was thoroughly engaged and enjoying it, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right.
Awesome. And the third Halloween sets can sometimes be like, you know, just a little icing on the cake or whatever, but there was some good stuff there.
Oh, definitely. 46 days, it seemed a lot longer than it is. And in a good way. They jammed on it a little bit, and then Sand, which stretched out. That whole first chunk, 46 days, Sand, Twist, is terrific. Twist has, you know, Trey make the move to the Marimba Lumina, and then Paige and Mike walk over to various ends of Fish's kit and start grab sticks and start drumming along. And they actually reprised Twist with Trey on the Marimba Lumina and everybody else on drums, which was pretty cool.
That's pretty special, awesome. And sort of a jammed out 2001 too.
Yeah, so they did Meat Stick, and they kind of stretched 2001 a little bit, and that was, you know, good dance time. Everybody was really pumped, and then a Number Line with beautiful Trey solo. And then just to keep up the beautiful stuff, they did Slave, which was, I can't objectively talk about it at all, so I'm not going to pretend to. I really enjoyed it.
It's a great version, and we were tweeting yesterday the absence of Reba from this tour. I feel like the Slaves this tour have more than made up for, you know, Reba gems, at least the two that have happened, the Alpharetta and the Vegas one. They've both been pretty phenomenal, I thought.
Yeah, but hopefully they don't forget about Reba.
They shouldn't. They shouldn't.
And YM.
They should remember those songs. So, Jonathan, these four nights, four-night run, pretty amazing stuff overall. What were your big takeaways from the run, besides just that Fish is awesome?
Well, first of all, Fish is awesome. I think it just shows that these guys are still working hard. And I think earlier in the tour, we knew that too. We saw really great stuff happening. I think some people were disappointed in the Texas shows, but there's still good music in those shows. And then they came here and they just gave us four. Bang, 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 bang. Heavy shots of kick-ass Fish. We got a couple 20-minute jams in the run. We got just a bunch of songs, really well played, and then an amazing Halloween set that I'm never going to forget. So I think that Fish is in a good place. I wish they were in that good place and had more shows coming up in the next 3 weeks, because I think people would eat that shit up.
But, yeah.
I understand that Mike has his own tour coming, and you know, then we've got New Year's and all of that. So there's still plenty of good stuff to come.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Mike in DC in late November. Are you should come to that.
Maybe I will.
Cool. I think the I was just thinking right before we were chatting, Jonathan, just the news, you know, news not news from Trey in one of those articles, Wall Street Journal or Rolling Stone, about, you know, changing up the pace. And I don't know, these sort of mini runs, if you imagine Halloween as its own standalone thing without a fall tour and then a, you know, Mexico and a summer thing and a New Year's thing, is it's interesting. It's going to always leave people wanting more, you know.
If they can do that, I don't think people would be extremely disappointed, other than the fact that, you know, we always want more when fish is good.
Yep.
So if that's a formula that works for the band, obviously they've got to be happy and comfortable doing whatever they're doing, or that's, it's going to reflect poorly in the playing. So if that's what it takes to get them out there on the road playing kick-ass shows, is to do it in small chunks, then I'm gonna take it that way.
Yeah.
If it's anything like this, it's no question.
Yeah, it seems like it works. So what are we gonna play for people on the last night of tour here?
Well, that is a really good question. I haven't given enough thought to it, probably. But you could probably get a little bit of a Moon Age Daydream, and then maybe that some of that Antelope Peak.
Mm,
just
yeah.
Give everybody a taste of something exciting.
Cool.
Y'all are going to have to go out and listen to the entire show
yeah.
repeatedly anyways. So,
that's a good
but
call.
That's good teaser.
Cool. Great. And we're really excited because we have two really fun episodes coming up. This Friday, we're going to be releasing our interview with Tom Marshall, which we recorded back in mid-September. And Rob Mitchum has agreed to join us on our fall tour recap, which will come out probably the week after that. So we got some good stuff coming up, and we appreciate people listening.
Yeah, I hope everybody enjoys that stuff. It's going to be real cool.
All right, Jonathan. Well, safe travels, and thanks, everyone, for listening. And, Jonathan, see you again soon. I'm glad you got to make those shows. It's really awesome. And hope everyone listening had fun either watching along at home or being there. And we'll talk to you guys soon. So thanks for listening, and keep on rocking.
have any shirt? Sure.